John has just whispered to me, I'm sure he won't mind me sharing, that he discovered this this song for the first time yesterday and was playing it all day. And here it is again. Isn't that wonderful? No collusion there. It is well with my soul. Is it well with your soul? Is it well with your soul? We're going to read from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 14. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 14. And think about Christmas peace. It's on page 1027, if you're following it in the Church Bible. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven. And on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." I'm sorry, I should have put the words on the screen for you as I read. Never mind. Okay, well, you may be thinking, peace on earth? You must be joking. Rather like that little child on the picture there. That's a "you must be joking" face, in case you were wondering. According to the Independent newspaper, there are only 11 countries in the world that are untouched by conflict in one way or another. That doesn't include our country, by the way. Out of 162, there are more than 162 nations, but out of the 162 measured against that scale, only 11 are completely untouched by some form of conflict or war. Another website reports 64 nations are currently involved in armed conflicts, perhaps on a larger scale. So world peace, peace on earth? You must be joking. Christmas peace, pull the other one. The most stressful time of the year, isn't it, for a lot of folks? Shopping. Panic Saturday, that was yesterday. Is today Panic Sunday? Probably is for a number of folks who haven't done their Christmas shopping yet. £1.2 billion spent yesterday on Christmas shopping. Someone has written that people use Xmas and that it means exhaustion, excuses, exchanges, excesses, extravagances, and exasperations. Christmas peace, well, you make up your own mind about that one. What kind of peace is being brought to the world here in the good news of great joy and in the Savior who is born in Bethlehem? What kind of peace? Well, I think there are four levels of peace offered in and through Jesus Christ. Peace on four levels. The first and foremost is peace with God. This peace is not in the first place and not yet world peace. but it is peace with God, peace with our Maker. This is the foundation of all peace, the beginning of all peace, to have peace with God. We sang in our first song this morning, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. God and sinners reconciled. That reconciliation with God is peace, first and foremost. That broken relationship with our God needs to be fixed, needs to be repaired, needs to be mended. That wasn't a helpful time to do that. Never mind. I will confiscate the ball. Thank you. And beat you later on. Peace with God is the first thing, isn't it? First and foremost, the peace we need. Thomas Merton said this, "We are not at peace with others because we are not at peace with ourselves, and we are not at peace with ourselves because we are not at peace with God." So the first thing is to make peace with your Maker, to find peace with God. The Romans 5, I've quoted, no I haven't, here it is. I've quoted from Romans 5, verse 1, "We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." If you read further in Romans 5, you'll discover that we were at war with God and we were enemies of God before Jesus and without Jesus. At war with God and enemies. Every human being falls into that category. At war with God and enemies of God. But in and through Jesus, we become friends with God, reconciled to Him, and we are at peace with Him. In that murder of Jesus, in that death of Jesus, there is reconciliation and peace. We have been reconciled to God through the death of His Son. That's also Romans 5. Reconciled to God through the death of His Son. Jesus' death did something remarkable. It turned the anger of God away from us. It deflected the anger of God. It absorbed the wrath of God. It fell on Jesus. The judgment of God fell on Jesus. In my place, as one of our hymns says, in my place, condemned, He stood. A theologian has said, Jesus was the judge, judged in our place. He took the judgment. He took the punishment. I'm set free. There's no condemnation if you're in Jesus Christ, because Jesus took your condemnation upon Himself. What do we have to do to find peace with God? Nothing. There's nothing we can do except receive by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We receive with the empty hand of faith. This is God's grace. This is God's gift to us. His Christmas present, if you like. We receive peace with God. We have peace with God as a gift. No matter how many times you come to church, no matter how many times you, if you like, get on your knees and pray, no matter how many old ladies you see across the road, no matter how many good deeds you do, you can't earn peace with God. It's a gift to be received through our Lord Jesus Christ and through simple, humble faith in Him. The empty hand, "Have mercy on me, a sinner," and you receive peace with God. Do you have peace with God? Have you received that gift through faith, simple, humble faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Peace on earth is first and foremost peace with God. But that peace with God is meant to start a process, a chain reaction in our lives and in our relationships to extend peace throughout our lives. Through Jesus, God has set in motion a peace process that's supposed to have a chain reaction. Peace with God and peace with people. And so Romans 12, verse 18 says, "If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." Now, this verse recognizes that sometimes you can only go so far in that process. There will be people who will resist peace with you, who will put up the barriers, who won't want to have a reconciliation with you, no matter how hard you try. So it says, in kind of two clauses, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Jesus says in Matthew 5, verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Now look at how Jesus motivates us to be peacemakers in our relationships, in our friendships. He says, first of all, blessed. Well, that's a word that essentially means, as we were saying on Thursday, happy. Happy are the peacemakers. You want happiness. You can't have happiness in your life if you have relationships that are in conflict. If you have relationships where you haven't tried to make peace, you can't have happiness. And then he says at the end of the verse, there's another motivator there, they will be called children of God. That's what children of God are. They are peacemakers. Not to mention the peace it brings into your own life and relationships when you resolve conflicts. You see, the truth is that when you refuse to forgive, the main person that you are hurting is yourself. When you refuse to forgive, when you hold on to a grudge, the main person you are hurting is yourself. Here's what one man writes, a Christian writes about this. He says, the man I hate hounds me wherever I go. The man I hate may be miles from my bedroom, but more cruel than any slave driver. He whips my thoughts into such a frenzy that my perfect sleeper mattress becomes a rack of torture. The lowliest of the serfs can sleep, but not I. I am indeed a slave to every man I hate. The person you hurt more than anyone, when you hate someone, when you refuse to let go of a grudge, is yourself. You're damaging yourself. Now, peace in a relationship requires, on both sides, a proper apology and proper forgiveness, doesn't it? Proper apology and proper forgiveness. What's a proper apology? Well, a proper apology isn't where you say, I'm sorry, but, and then you justify why you did what you did or you said what you said. Or you say, my circumstances made me do it, or it's just the way I am. There's all kinds of reasons people give to justify why they did what they did. That's not a proper apology. Even worse than that is where you say, nobody's perfect. I'm sorry, but nobody's perfect. That's no apology at all. Don't say that. Just say, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I'm truly sorry. Full stop. End it there. That's a proper apology. Don't whitewash it. Don't push it away and say, oh, you really ought to forgive. You know, just let it go. A proper apology. On the other side, there's got to be proper forgiveness. And the Bible shows us that proper forgiveness means, well, here's what it doesn't mean. Here's what proper forgiveness is not. It's not when you say, I can't remember how many times I've heard this, but it's not when you say, I can forgive, but I can't forget. That's not a real apology. I can forgive, but I can never forget is not a real apology. What does God say to us when He forgives? I will remember their sins no more. I'm going to forget. I'm going to deliberately put them behind me. I'm not going to hold them against you. I'm never going to bring them up. I will remember your sins no more. A proper apology is when you simply say, I forgive you completely, as freely and completely and fully as God has forgiven me. Don't say, I can forgive, but I can't forget. Wouldn't it be awful if God said that to us? Wouldn't it be awful if He said to us, all right, I'll forgive you, but I'll never forget what you did. I'll never forget how you offended me. I will remember your sins no more. Peace with people, with each other. Christmas peace is also peace of mind. Peace of mind. What a wonderful thing that is. Here's a couple of verses for us to look at. Anybody like to hazard a guess at what is the nation's favorite Christmas carol currently? The nation's favorite Christmas carol. Go on, have a guess. Have a go. Pete? No? No, I like that one very much, actually. Any other? Sorry? Like the heralds? No, but it is one we've had today. It is it's Silent Night, apparently. It's jumped above O Holy Night, pushed it into second place, and Hark the Herald is third. So you're close. This was reported in the Metro recently. It's become our number one Christmas carol. And the Metro also included an article trying to get behind why this was so popular. And here's what was written. To sleep in heavenly peace is an attractive proposition to us. To sleep in heavenly peace. How often do you sleep in heavenly peace? To cast aside our endless worrying, our daily strifes, to sleep in complete contentment. The NHS website says 1 in 3 of us suffers from poor sleep, with stress, computers, and taking work home often blamed. And then we come to the Bible and we find verses like Philippians 4, 6 and 7. I haven't included 7. This is from the New Living Translation. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. I think it goes on to say something like, then God's peace, which is more wonderful than you can imagine, will guard or protect your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I mean, isn't that fantastic? Isn't that a wonderful promise? Isn't that a great offer? Remember that these words were written by a man in prison, Paul, in prison at the time. Ancient prisons weren't pleasant places to be, let's just put it that way. But here it is on offer for us today, a peace that passes understanding, a peace that guards your heart and mind, a supernatural, secure peace. Secure. Our peace is often very fragile. Our peace of mind is often very easily broken. I came in this morning, I was feeling relatively calm, relatively peaceful. I go out to the back garden, and one thing that makes my blood boil, I have to say, is when I find cigarettes on the grass that have burnt the surface. That gets me. And it broke my peace, I can say. I felt troubled by it. I know I need to go and deal with it again, and I felt troubled by it. How often our peace is just broken so easily. Think of a motorbike roaring through a quiet country village, just shattering the peace. So fragile. Isn't God promising us something stronger here? When He's speaking of the peace of God which guards, which protects our hearts and minds, He's speaking of a secure peace, one that's not easily broken. Life's pleasant, going along nicely, we can have a kind of a peace. But then we get some bad news. Then something goes a bit wrong, there's a bit of stress, and it's broken. There's a promise here of something greater. The Hebrew word, as John would tell you, is shalom. To this day, I believe it's used as a greeting between Jews. Shalom. It's a wonderful word. It's a rich word. It's a full word. It's not just the absence of noise and conflict, but something much more positive. It's not just mum putting her feet up with a cup of coffee at lunchtime. It's something deeper and stronger, and it's the presence of God. Not just the absence of conflict and noise, but the positive presence of God. Shalom. And Psalm 85, verse 8, I thought I'd put that up for you to look at as well. I will listen to what God the Lord says, He promises peace to his people. He promises peace to you if you are in Christ. He promises peace to you, but let them not turn to folly. That's what can break the peace in our hearts, in our heads, in our minds. When we turn to folly, whatever that folly might be, you can all think of the follies that you turn to, the temptations that you face, and when you turn to them, when you give way to them, it breaks the peace. It grieves the Holy Spirit. It breaks the peace in your heart. Let them not turn to folly. Plenty of folly at Christmas time for us to turn to on the television and on screens and in the fridge, for that matter. Overeating. The folly of overeating. The folly of watching rubbish on TV. The folly of surfing the net or maybe surfing Amazon too much for bargains. That's the kind of thing that can break the peace in our hearts and minds. So we've seen that Christmas peace means peace with God, peace with people. As far as it depends on you, make peace with everyone. Peace of mind and heart, that supernatural and secure peace. But it does also mean, although not yet, it does mean world peace. It does mean peace, international and global peace, ultimately, not yet, but when Jesus returns. Isaiah 9, verse 7 promises that with the coming of Christ, and particularly the return of Christ, of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. Jesus came to bring peace. One day, that's going to be true on a global scale, a universal scale, you might say. And we also have these wonderful words, don't we, a little bit later on in Isaiah 11:6. The wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat. I saw a wonderful news story about this yesterday in a zoo in Siberia, where this has literally happened, virtually anyway, that it was a tiger lying down with a goat. I'm going to show you the video in a moment, but the goat was given to the tiger to eat, but the tiger decided instead to make friends with the goat. In fact, the goat pretty much kicked, because of his bravery, kicked the tiger out of the tiger's house, and they get on famously now, so I want to show you that on the website. Pretty cool. Let's hope it goes there. And of course, we might be disappointed. I do apologize. Let's try that again. Okay. And this should go there. I tell a lie. Okay. All right. Fair enough. One moment. Oh, no. No, no. It's not going to work. I do apologize. Okay. So the goat comes in. Because of his bravery, apparently he didn't realize that he was meant to be scared of this tiger. They make friends. To this day, they are friends. They just hang out together in the tiger enclosure. The result of this has been that the tiger is now fed bunny rabbits and not goats. So bad news for bunny rabbits. But what a wonderful little foretaste of what is coming, where the world will no longer have that kind of violence. And I think these are symbols not only for the animal kingdom, but more so for the human kingdom, you know, where people won't tear each other apart any longer, where there'll be no violence. This is the promise that we have in Christ, isn't it? That one day there will be a wonderful peace and righteousness. I think of the words of Peter at the end of his second letter, where he says, "We are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness." Of rightness, where everything's right, every relationship is right, and you don't, for example, need any of those going past there, because there's no sickness, there's no pain, there's no suffering, and everything is right as it should be, as right as rain. Isaiah in Isaiah 32:17 says, "The effect of righteousness will be peace." You couldn't say that about this world, could you? You couldn't say that this is a home of righteousness. I mean, you couldn't say this is where righteousness is really at home. righteousness and peace. But there's a day coming when it will be, when everything will be right, through our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is something that I think we need to learn to look forward to. I don't know how good you and I are looking forward to the future that is ours in Christ and the promises that we have in Him. I know I'm very poor at it. Sometimes I think it's a long way off. I can't be sure. It's no further than your own death. I know for you guys that seems like a long way off, but life catches up with you, and before you know it, you're 40, and then you're 50, and so on, and it goes up and up, and there's no way you can bring it down. That's what, by the way, that's what goes up, but never comes down, your age. It's a Christmas cracker joke, I'm afraid. Anyway, it's not far away, okay, and we need to learn to look forward to that day, because it will strengthen us, it will make us strong today. And make us happy today to know that one day everything is going to be right. However wrong it is now, there's plenty of wrong around, one day through Jesus Christ, it's going to be made right. It's going to be a home of righteousness, a world of righteousness and peace and joy and love. And all of that is in the pipeline because of Jesus. Look forward to it. Think about it. Encourage one another with these words. Peace with God, peace with people, peace of mind and heart, so that you can sleep at night. Psalm 4 verse 8 says, I will lie down and sleep in peace because you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Is that a secret that you know? I will lie down and sleep in peace, says David, in a troubled situation, because you alone, O Lord, make me lie down and dwell in safety. Do you have trouble with sleep? Find peace of mind in Jesus, in thankful prayer to God. Peace of mind, and one day, peace across the board, peace everywhere, peace in every relationship, peace across the universe. World peace, global peace. And peace in our hearts. Come to Jesus. That's the message, isn't it? Every Sunday, pretty much. Come to Jesus. Jesus is where this peace is found. He's the peacemaker above all peacemakers. Jesus is our peace, says Ephesians chapter 2. He is our peace. Come to Him. Draw near to Him and find peace. Let's pray. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that so many of us here have found peace with you, peace of conscience, the forgiveness of all our sins, and a peaceful and right new relationship with you because of Jesus. Because Christ died on the cross for our sins, we have peace with you through Him. And we pray, Father, for this peace to overflow into our lives and relationships and even into our hearts and minds. Even in the midst of troubled circumstances, help us, Lord, to pursue and seek your peace. For you promise peace to your people. You've promised peace to your people. Help us to take hold of that promise. Help us to pray thankful prayers to the point of finding that peace, the peace that transcends understanding. Pray for every person in this room today that they may know Jesus, that they may have faith in Jesus so they have peace with God, and that we may know, even in this stressful, silly season that is a commercialized Christmas, that through Jesus the Savior, the Messiah, we might begin to taste again that peace that He came to bring us. Help us also to look forward to the wonderful day of righteousness and peace and joy when Jesus returns to make everything right and everything new. And we pray in His name. Amen.